I'm Mike Sweeney. This is the Simplified Body Podcast.
Welcome, folks, back to another episode of the Simplified Body Podcast. I love that theme tune, even if I do say so myself. I am, as always, Mike Sweeney, UK registered dietitian. And today I thought we would discuss, starvation mode. This is one of those things that I haven't heard for quite a while, but just about a week ago, actually, because I go boxing still. I did a white collar event end of 2016, really enjoyed it, so hired a one-on-one boxing coach. And so I was training with him the other week, and he started asking me nutrition questions, which was always inevitable. Being a UK registered dietitian, I'm sure, you know, if you're a personal trainer, you probably get that kind of thing as well, where people are like, oh, what can I do with this? What can I do with that? And that's what had happened with this guy. He had hired a personal trainer, I think was the situation, and this personal trainer had advised my boxing coach that if you don't eat enough calories, then your body goes into starvation mode and you stop losing weight. And the reason I kind of laughed a little bit there was because, like I said, this is a really super sort of old-fashioned idea, if you like, and it tends to get misunderstood a lot, which is why I thought creating a podcast would be actually good about it, and just to kind of help clear that up. So yeah, this trainer had said to my boxing coach anyway, look, if you don't eat enough calories, your body goes into starvation mode, you will stop losing weight. Your body will hold on to the weight because your body's trying to keep you alive. And so my coach had asked me this, and he was like, Mike, what do you think? Like, you know about nutrition? And obviously, fortunately, it was towards the end of the training session, and I just burst out laughing. And me being me, you know, in that situation, my initial reaction was like, this is just absolute nonsense, absolute BS, if you like. And like I said, it seems to be quite a common, pervasive misunderstanding or myth, if you like, that starvation mode is actually a thing. Because it's in my opinion, not even in my opinion, in the opinion of the research, like, starvation mode, as most people understand it, is not a thing. Like, it's not real. It does not exist. Nowhere on planet Earth at any point in time ever has somebody purposefully tried to lose weight, not eating enough calories, and then the body's just gone, no, I'm not doing it. Like, that's never really happened. Like, you've never seen that in real life. Researchers have never really seen that to any great degree. You know, and we're kind of assuming a bunch of stuff right now, because, you know, like, minus any rare genetic disorders or any rare clinical conditions that might, you know, slow down or prevent any weight loss for any number of reasons, you know, the general population, just an averagely healthy person, like, that's never happened, ever. And when I'm in clinic with patients and, or, you know, when I'm talking to clients and, you know, like I said to my boxing coach, the analogy I always use, well, it's not an analogy really, it's just a story. So I read, about 6 months ago, I read a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And it's a book, I forget the name of the author, but he survived Auschwitz, which is like a prisoner of war camp from, I think, World War II. My history is not that great. But he wrote this book because he was one of the few that survived, but he not only survived that kind of treatment, but he came out psychologically well, considering what he had gone through, you know, like, I think quite a lot of people survived, but weren't mentally well, and, you know, a lot of people died and starved to death, etc., etc., which is all obviously really unfortunate, but it's not really the point of bringing this up. The point of bringing this up was, in that book, he describes the conditions that they were living in during that time. And they, you know, they were like hundreds of people thrown into like these big, I suppose, giant shed type situations, and had very minimal living, sort of living quality, life quality, right? Beds to sleep on, places to sit. But the only food they had was, their breakfast would be like soup and water. A soup and a piece of bread. And then lunch would be like soup and two pieces of bread. And then dinner would be like soup and bread. And then the only extravagant things they had were things that were getting smuggled in every now and again. And obviously you had to know the right person, or, you know, be doing stuff to get in on those kinds of things. But that's what they were fed. And the thing is that in that situation of not being fed very many calories at all, nobody came out of Auschwitz overweight, right? Like, of all of the hundreds of people, probably thousands, you know, of people really unfortunately died, like, none of them died overweight. A lot of them starved to death. Obviously, a lot of them were tortured and stuff as well, but a lot of them were starved to death. And the long-winded point being, anyway, is that without any complicated scientific explanations, you know, without having to have a degree in this, that, or the other, just knowing that that's the case, you already know that this starvation mode thing is not real. Like, it doesn't exist. If you eat 500 calories for the next 6 months, I guarantee you will be like a skeleton at the end. You'll be malnourished, true, but you will be like a skeleton at the end. You would have lost a bunch of weight, and that will fluctuate. You know, initially you lose a ton of weight, then it'll slow down, then you lose a bit more, and it'll slow down, and it will fluctuate like that, depending on a bunch of different factors. And some of those factors are what I think sometimes move people to think that starvation mode is real. So, you know, I'm talking specifically about adaptive thermogenesis now. So, you know, if you were to go away from this podcast now, start eating just 500 calories a day, you'd very quickly find that you become very tired, you become very irritable, you become very hungry, you become very food-focused. You know, you might become very angry, or your mood might be very, very low. Equally, you might become very, very wired. A bunch of this stuff will happen. And obviously, if you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to get in shape, whether you're very far away from your goals or not, all of that stuff makes getting in shape a lot, lot harder. But that's not your body not losing weight. That's not what it's supposed to do. That's not what it's doing at all. So it's just doing what it's supposed to do. Okay, so adaptive thermogenesis is a real scientific thing whereby fundamentally, obviously, your body's job is just to keep you alive. So if you restrict your food intake and you start exercising, initially, you know, your body will expend a bunch of calories, a bunch of energy, because all of that is new, right? Then after a few weeks, your body starts adjusting, it starts adapting, starts doing the same exercises but using less calories now. It's becoming more efficient over time because, again, your body's job is to keep you alive, keep you going. And it's for this reason that you cannot eat for 2 or 3 weeks and you will still be alive. You'll be very hungry, but you will still be alive. And that's what your body's supposed to do. That's not starvation mode, that's adaptive thermogenesis. But even though that's what happens, if you just persist with the 500 calories a day, even though your weight loss will slow down eventually, even though you'll become more and more hungry, more and more irritable, etc., etc., you will still continue to lose weight, whether it be slower or not. So that adaptive thermogenesis can be overcome in that sense. Not that you would want to, or not that anybody would make it that far unless they were forced to, as in the case of the Auschwitz prisoners, unfortunately. So And I think that's the experience that leads people maybe to think that starvation mode is real, starvation mode is a thing, but it's actually not. So how do you get around all of that then? Well, it's actually quite simple, to be fair. And this is the approach I've always taken with clients. And, you know, people kind of, it's funny because people kind of think that, you know, I've been interviewed on various different podcasts and done different webinars and, you know, written a bunch of content and all that kind of stuff. And people kind of think it's some sort of a hypey statement, some sort of a marketing gimmick when I say, you know, that all the bodybuilders I've ever helped, A, they've all won trophies, and B, they've never done any cardio. You know, people think that some sort of like marketing claim or what, and I've seen Facebook posts from seasoned bodybuilders saying, no, that's nonsense. You definitely need cardio, you know, this, that, or the other. And I truly believe, well, I say I shouldn't truly believe, because believe's a bit of a wrong choice of word, but in my experience tells me, with these competitors, with the average everyday folk that I've helped, with getting myself in shape multiple times over, with all the elite athletes that I've ever worked with, my experience has always demonstrated that rather than do what everybody does and go with an aggressive caloric deficit, if you go with a more moderate caloric deficit, then you almost sidestep all of the adaptive thermogenesis I've just talked about. Or, you know, I don't want you to think of it as starvation mode, but if it helps, you can think of it as, you know, like a similar thing. I think, like I said, I think the adaptive thermogenesis is what people think about or refer to as starvation mode sometimes, even though it's just not the same thing at all. But that's how you sidestep that adaptive thermogenesis, whereby, you know, you're dieting, you're getting lean, you're losing weight, you're getting hungrier, you're getting irritable, you're thinking about food more, you're getting tired. That's how you sidestep it. You just take a more moderate caloric deficit. And in fact, I go so far as, when I'm working with clients, I will have them at a maintenance level of calorie intake. Maintenance level. And I find one of two things. Either they don't lose any weight, which is completely fine, because then we know where we're at. Or they lose a few pounds anyway, which tells me they were eating more food than they thought. More food than they definitely told me. And more food than, obviously, the equations would predict. Now, obviously, that's not sexy at all. Not one bit. And, you know, I've said it on previous podcasts in the past, like, I'm not going to get rich or famous saying this stuff, but this is how you do it. This is how you get the results of avoiding all the problems of adaptive thermogenesis. And this is why I say starvation mode is not a real thing. Because if you take a more moderate approach to caloric, creating that moderate caloric deficit every 3 or 4 weeks, make sure the training is on point, all of those problems with dieting, excessive hunger, tiredness, etc., actually become a non-problem. Like, they're just not issues at all. Obviously, the longer and longer you go, if you were to carry out even a moderate caloric deficit type approach for a whole year, then that becomes a different thing. Definitely a different thing. And that's where diet breaks and all of that kind of stuff comes in. But like I said, for the most part, all the bodybuilders have ever helped go from, and some of them have gone from, like, you know, BMIs of 30, 31, yeah, being muscular guys, but also being very, very overweight, and then getting on stage at 4, 5% body fat confirmed by a bod pod, and they've done no cardio, and they're not excessively hungry, and they've had none of those usual problems that come with, you know, super strict, hardcore, aggressive dieting. And then the long-term effect of that is most of the bodybuilders have helped have continued to be in shape. Some of them have fitness modeling careers now, and, you know, some of them are nutritionists now, having gone through the process with myself and, you know, learned a bunch of stuff, and they're off helping other people now, which is all super, super cool. But like I said, it just goes to show, really, if you follow the masses, that you're just going to run into problems. And that's going to make you think starvation mode is a real thing. But the reality is, it's not. All that's happening is your body's doing what it's supposed to do. Adaptive thermogenesis. Your body's supposed to make you hungry when you're trying to starve yourself. So the only logical solution is don't starve yourself. Like I said, it's not sexy. It's not new. But unfortunately, in the fitness industry we're in right now, it is different. Right? Most people seem to be promoting quick results, aggressive caloric deficits, you know, overly restrictive approaches, which is fine for like a 6-week, 10-week period whilst your clients are super motivated and all of this and all of that. But what happens in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 2 years? I still see clients now that I've helped 5 years ago and they're still in shape. And that's not even a bragging thing. I know it sounds like that. That's not even what it is. That's just a fact. I see them at the gym. And I think that just speaks volumes of taking a more moderate approach, sidestepping this adaptive thermogenesis. None of that stuff becomes a problem. And you get to your goal eventually. And then when you get there, you're able to stay there, which is the other side of the equation, which is where a ton of the research is going now. Less and less research has been done on diets and how to get people to lose weight. More and more research is now being done on, okay, we can get people to lose weight, but how do we get them to keep it off? Because even the most successful diets ever, most successful programs ever, when you follow up with those people in 3 years, they've regained at least some of the weight. Sometimes it's a little, sometimes it's a lot, sometimes they've just, you know, gotten way bigger than they actually were before. So, long story short, we're going to leave it there. Hopefully that wasn't too heavy on all of the science details for you. But for all of those reasons and more, I could go on all day, but I think that about summarizes it all up. For all of those reasons, I say that starvation mode is not a real thing. It does not exist. So if your clients are talking to you about, I don't eat very much food and I'm overweight, you know, must be starvation mode or whatever is the case, which is kind of what my boxing coach was getting at, it's not real. Definitely, definitely not a real thing. Hopefully that helps. I'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Listen, if you're a busy trainer with a growing client base, you might be interested in the UK's first fully hands-off nutrition system. Find out more at simplifiedbody.com.